This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is the Urologist Speaks with Bahamian urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. My co-host today is Dr. Ian Fernander, who is a career banker, an entrepreneur, a publisher, a business consultant, and he holds many, many hats. Good evening, Mr. Ian Fernander.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm very well. I'd like to first say a very happy birthday to my father, Mr. Alan Pinto, who has been teaching in the Bahamas for over 50 years. He's known in all circles, and he's made a lasting impact on the lives of generations of men and women in our country. I can't go a single day without someone asking me if I'm Alan Pinto's son, and then they were going to make a declaration of how he changed their life and made a lasting positive impact on this life. So my father is my hero, and I salute him, and he's still teaching. He could have easily retired a dozen years ago, but he's still dedicated to his craft and dedicated to trying to change the path of innumerable young persons. So everybody needs a hero in their life, and for myself, it's my father. So happy birthday to Alan Pinto. We have a very interesting discussion today. The topic was suggested by Mr. Ian Fernando. We're going to talk about, we're always here trying to emphasize, trying to save men, trying to promote a healthier Bahamas for men, women, children of all ages. But today we're going to concentrate on the men, and we're talking to the women as well in their lives and society as a whole. But what exactly is the role of a man in the Bahamian society? And what is the usefulness of a man? We hear so many words of negative connotations and derogatory terms related to men in our society, that they're useless, that they're no good, that they're lazy, that they're shiftless, they're untrustworthy. We're going to talk about this topic from all angles, and I'll let you start off, Mr. Ian Fernander. What do you, when you hear useless men in the society, what are your thoughts?
I think one of the more interesting thing about that phraseology is that you rarely hear it put together with women. You rarely hear the term useless women. But it's so commonly put together with us men, useless, waste of time, of no value or low value.
And whether it's deserved or not deserved, we're going to debate.
Yes. But even if it's deserved, I start off by talking about the strangeness of how easily it's attached to us men, so easily, the slightest little thing, and you get relegated to the realm of uselessness. So I think we move to the positive and try to talk about, and hopefully persons out there who are listening can help us, especially some of our women listeners can help us to understand what is meant by this common phrase, a useless man. What is this useless man? What renders a man useless? But want to really talk more about how does a man be useful? What does that mean? I'd like to talk about my principal issue with the stigma of uselessness, is that a lot of our young men grew up in this milieu where uselessness is almost an expectation.
And then it raises a question, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it that men become useless, or are we raising useless boys who become useless men?
Yes, yes. And then the paradox of it is that there are so many men, so many, innumerable men in our culture alone, in our country alone, who are incredibly useful.
Industrious, hardworking, dedicated,
incredibly
faithful, loving, yes. Love their country, love their family, love their society, want to improve it. But we've spoken about this many times over the many, many months that you've been on the show, and the media are to blame in many circumstances because they love, and maybe it's what their media is feeding what society wants. They want to hear the negative.
Yes.
They want to hear that the neighbor was arrested for armed robbery and attempted murder, but the neighbor on the other side of the street who was awarded 3 scholarships and went off and got a master's degree and achieved greatness, there's no mention of that person at all.
Yeah.
So if all you hear thrown at you is that we're no good, all we do is rob and steal and have children that we don't take care of, then you feel despondent. Everybody needs a hero, as I mentioned earlier, and everybody needs a guiding light. Everyone wants to see someone who's been in a similar circumstance overcome hurdles to achieve greatness, but if all we do is obsess or didn't make it and fell through the cracks, then we're going to perceive half the persons in our country as being negative, and that's just going to have a negative impact on our outlook on life.
Yeah, the negative almost becomes home. It becomes the thing. It becomes the thing that garners attention.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if you have a group of children, and the only time you pay someone attention is when they're rude, you sort of send the message to them that, hey, you want some attention here, you need to be rude.
I mean, for a typical Bahamian woman of age, we're talking about 16 and older, the main question they're going to have with their female counterparts is, where are all the good men? Because they don't seem to exist. Yeah. They just don't exist. But when we think about what is the role of a man in Bahamian society, I'll say that I think a man must distinguish himself and live his life with purpose by protecting and providing for his loved ones, which includes emotional support and protection. But a man must be a rock, and he must provide stability so that the woman in his life, his children, his family can thrive and they can prosper without constant worry. So he's the foundation of the family. So real men should shield their loved ones from stress and not create it. And all we see is drama throughout our society and in homes throughout our society with men creating havoc and despair. And men must protect with intention, provide with consistency and love with depth to it. And a real man embraces these challenges because it's very difficult. One of the most difficult things that you can be on this earth is a father and a husband and a provider. But he must embrace these challenges. And this creates a legacy that his family experiences daily. And that imparts what a man should be to his son, to his nephews, to his grandchildren. So we can build the roots of a better Bahamas by having just one good man in a family can make the world of difference.
So one of our challenges as a society is, how do we embark on celebrating the goodness in our men? How do we do that?
How do we cultivate it?
Yeah, how do we cultivate that? We have sort of descended into a habit of almost salivating over when somebody does something wrong, and more or less ignoring and treating it as a so what when someone is a great engineer, one of the best in the world, we have them. When someone is a great doctor, one of the best in the world, someone's a great teacher.
Or an artist.
Or an artist. Yes. You know, we have any number. Bahamians are incredibly talented pound per pound, not just in athletics, but in all realms of life. But how do we get ourselves to consistently celebrate that as the norm, as the thing, and the illnesses among us as the anomaly, as opposed to the flip side of what we're doing? We almost act as if the illness is the norm, and the person who does something well is abnormal.
Well, I think we also have to be careful and differentiate when we say success stories. It's not all about achievement. It's not all about professional success. There are some men who are a beacon, in terms of they are the example of what would be a professional success, whether they're a lawyer or whether they're a plumber or a contractor. Financial success, they're lauded throughout the community. They have endless work, and they seem to be improving upon their business year after year. But when they go home, they drink excessively. They're emotionally abusive or distant with their wife. They're emotionally or physically abusive with their children. They're wayward in other ways. So it's a lot more to being a good man and a useful man in our society than just economics or success.
Yeah. So you've hit a nail with a hammer there, and I would say this old adage: he who would be God of big things must be God of small things, and irrespective of how it shows off in the public, the real man is the man who is, when he's at home or even when he's alone, is still a good man. Sometimes we don't even get that lesson. We believe that the show of a man is the man, as opposed to being taught that the real man is that man when he's in his shell, when he's at home. And the things that he accomplishes in that environment is the true reflection of who he is, as opposed to the show that he can put on when he walks out the door.
And a good man is not always a necessarily a quote unquote kind man or a nice man. A man has to be principled. If a man falls for everything, then he's not a good man. So when you look, what's the difference between a good man and a nice man? I would say a nice man gets along with everyone and tolerates almost anything with little discernment. They don't stand up for anything or against anything. But a good man is a nice man, but he has ideals, he has judgment, he has standards that he will always stand up for, and he always fight for his ideals. So when a good man is tested, when his rights are trampled upon, or he sees injustice, a good man in that moment is not going to be a nice man. So you don't want a wishy-washy man who smiles and accepts everything. A good man is ready to stand his ground and fight for what is right.
Mm-hmm. And let's not lose sight of another factor, societal factor, that I think is important, and it is the business of redemption. It is very challenging to be a good man in a society that does not forgive, does not offer redemption, does not offer paths to reconciliation and success. The kind of society that when you do something wrong, one thing wrong, or maybe a couple times wrong, you're done. You will never be righted again. I think that's a part of us that we also have to be concerned about fixing. It's a bit strange to see it so prevalent in our Christian society, because one of the pillars of Christianity is the idea of redemption and forgiveness. But we are pretty unforgiving, especially of men, when they fall apart or they do something that we don't like, or they make a mistake, or they do something criminal or whatever, we pretty much write them off, and it's about the only thing we will ever say about them for the rest of their lives. Even professionals who make one mistake, they might have done 99% of the things right, and they make one mistake, and we do not pull out forgiveness for them. Men need to be in a society that's prepared to offer them redemption as well in order for them to be useful.
Well, we have a society, sadly, of a culture of haterism, black crab syndrome. If they see you doing well, they want to see you fail. And I guess that gives them some solace and that someone is taken down. And once they do something wrong, they never want to see that person rise again. And a lot of it is, we look at what is the difference between a man and a boy. So you don't define that from my perspective by age, but by their actions. There are a lot of men who are in every sense of the word boys. And there are some boys who are very responsible, and they're essentially the man of the house. So what I look at is a boy wants attention, and a man wants and should always demand respect. A boy runs from responsibility, but a true man takes accountability, even in the most difficult of times and circumstances. A boy tends to blame everyone for his failures except himself. But a man looks within himself and addresses and fixes what must be corrected. That just comes with age and maturity and life experience. So he needs validation, whether it's from his parents, his peers, his teachers, his principal, or even from women, from females. But a man builds himself into a tower of strength so that validation is essentially irrelevant. A boy becomes emotional and reacts without thought of any consequences. And there are too many young men who just react in the moment, and they have to live their whole life living with the consequences of that reaction. But a true man controls his emotion. He's very tempered and responds in a controlled manner. So a boy often wants instant gratification. We have a society where everybody wants to achieve everything right away without putting the work in, essentially. So that's why there's so many, that's the lure of, let's just become a drug dealer, because you'll have the women, you'll have the cars, you'll have everything instantly. But what is that doing to our society? And what is the life expectancy and future of a drug dealer? Not to mention you're going to break your mother's heart and your grandmother's heart and put them at risk. We hear about drive-by shootings all the time. But a man understands that real success takes time and takes sacrifices. It may take decades for a man to be successful. The average millionaire worldwide is between 45 and 55. So they put in that grind for 20, 25 years before they really had any financial success. So you have to be patient. And there's a lack of patience in our society, particularly for the males.
I backtrack to some of the things you said, and I'll start with the last thing, because being rich or wealthy is, in my opinion, not at all necessarily something to do with finances.
Very much so. Very much
sometimes
so.
Sometimes it is. I mean,
some of the most poorest of persons in terms of on paper are some of the greatest heroes of our history.
Mm. Yeah, I always define wealth in my line of work as a state of consistent, constant contentment.
I think a truly quote unquote rich person has peace.
Yes,
inner peace, a peaceful sanctum within his home, a peaceful existence. That is more treasured than any financial or economics.
And of course, in you can't discount the fact that you may need some resources like finances to assist with
of
that.
Of course.
But the finances are not it. It's just a tool. And going back through one of the things that you said, you talked about men having to demand or look for respect. I do want to add to that, I'm almost push back against that the one person a man has to respect or demand respect from is himself. We're not taught that enough. We're not taught that, hey, your job is to get up in the morning, go to bed at night, respecting yourself. Walking through the world believing that you must do things to get other people to respect you without first understanding that your main job is to be always respect you, always respect you. And if you focus enough on that, you will find that others will as well, because you'll be doing the kinds of things that others will respect. But some people go out, and this is where the show comes in, they go out seeking to get people to respect them. And some of our crimes are actually related to fellas believing that someone disrespected them. And then they do something disrespectful to self in reaction to this so-called disrespect.
Well, a few weeks ago, we had the pleasure of having Mr. Jeffrey Lloyd on the show about children and the trauma. Even we purposefully spoke about young boys, where from 18 months, 2 years, all they do is get a beating. For everything, there's a beating. So you've mentioned the time they're a preteen or teenager, all they knew to react to anyone, any transgression is violence. Yes. It's nothing to do with sitting down and trying to understand someone's perspective and trying to peacefully come to an understanding. No, you're going to reach out and you're going to violently attack. So we're doing a lot of disservice to our young boys by beating them senseless. It's not teaching them anything other than violence. Violence breeds violence. But I'll circle back to what I spoke about earlier when we talk about women, and there's so many women out here. I'll say more than half of women are saying there are no good men out there. There are no good boyfriends. There are no good potential husbands. So we have to look at what are the characteristics of not just a good husband and a good father, but
before we do that, I just want to put in this little word edgewise, maybe a little controversial. A lot of those women who are sitting up, expecting good men, expecting men to be A, B, C, D, E, themselves are bringing nothing to the table, or not much to the table.
Agreed.
And they feel that it's okay for me to not bring anything or not much to the table, but by God, I'm not accepting another man, a man who is like me,
yes,
who's bringing nothing to the table. You got to bring something to the table, but I don't.
Yes.
I wonder how we expect to progress with that mentality, and in a way, we have accepted that it's okay for one side to say, hey, the other this guy has to bring something to the table. He has to be a worthy man. But me, I just need to be female.
Yes. Yes.
That's it.
Well, I think when we talk about what are women looking for, you have to remember a man with nothing to offer will take everything you have. He will smile in your face and emotionally and financially drain you, and you will not notice until you are completely empty inside. A man without money will start spending yours and give the feeble excuse that is only temporary. Then it becomes his way of life. It is far too common, and I hear so many of these stories from even professional women that they will remark that this is their life story, where, and this is our Bahama man, their so-called men, their boyfriend or their husband, the typical day for them is dropping their women, their girlfriend, their wife to work in the woman's car, going back to the woman's house for which they pay no rent or contribute. They contribute nothing whatsoever, to often smoke weed, drink excessively, play video games, and then when they're tired of that, go around cajoling and trying to check other women in their woman's car. And at the end of the day, they go and pick up that woman, that said woman, in her car from work. So the only job that that man can claim is dropping and picking up a woman in that woman's car.
But I mean, in that case, though, isn't the woman complicit?
Yes,
I mean,
but she'll also reply that it's better than nothing. That's where so many women have given up.
But you're still complicit. You know, if you need a drink of water and you saw me drop two drops of poison in it, you're not going to say, you know, that's better than nothing. I think if you are a rational human being, certainly what we can use a bit more in our society, women who actually have standards and demands and do not put up with rubbish. Because I tell you, a normal, typical man is ready to step up to the plate and do good by a good woman.
Very true.
I think so.
Very true.
But if you're not demanding or expecting or accepting or reciprocating this level of responsibility from a partner, then I mean, not in all cases, but I think you're a bit involved in the situation that you have.
Well, a lot of women have given up when you speak about looking for a man that's equally yoked. They'll say that there aren't any. And for every one man that they may want, 2,000 other women want the same thing. They want all those same characteristics. They want them making this amount of money. They want them with this height. They want this hair. They want them in this profession. They want them coming from this good family. And these men know that. And unfortunately, they're so spoilt. And I guess they don't have the integrity that they need. So they have 5 women because they know they can get away with it. And these women will rather have a fifth of this good man than no man whatsoever. And it's even in terms of economics, it might be driven by that as well. Also loneliness and the need to even have a father, quote-unquote, for a child that they always wanted. But if you can have a man in your life, even partially, temporarily, at least he may help with the rent. He may help with the school fees. He may help with car payments. He may be a some form of companion. It's not anything in the truest sense, but if a man without peace will drain you, you will bring drama and stress into your everyday life, and many women don't realize that. And a man without a future will sabotage you because of because the growth that he sees in you is a reminder of his failings in life. So he's going to pull you down to his level. He's not gonna enrich your life. He's not gonna uplift you.
I'm gonna say that's not the province of men only.
I agree. I agree. We're
that's
talking about men, but
that's not the
I'm not
of
trying
men
to be negative
only.
With men at all. I agree.
I think I don't know that the men have any monopoly on that sort of stuff.
Well, I'll say if a man cannot respect you and love you and provide and protect for you, He's not a partner. He's a parasite. And parasites do not build. They consume. A parasite does not love you. He just needs you. He is not there for who you are. He is there for what he can get from you and what you can give him.
And I'm going to add to that, again, being a bit of devil's advocate, if you are not principally protectable, if you are not principally one that requires or attracts growth and development and contribution, if that's not who you are, then it's difficult for that to happen in your life as well. And sometimes we are ignoring the fact that some of these deficiencies are because the light is dim and is not attracting the moth as much as it ought to be, and blaming the moth for not being there. But anyway, I won't go down that road too much. I want to talk a bit more about this, the flip side of what we're talking about. What is a useful, responsible man? How do we decide as men that we are useful, that we are responsible, that we have a mark to make in this life? What gives us that sort of grounding? And I don't quite know if we are even taught that enough. A lot of us discover that pretty much by just discovering it, or by being lucky enough to be around responsible men. But
So what did you say about a young man who never had any positive role model, never had any example of a good father, never had an example of a good man? His father was in and out of jail. His uncles and his cousins are in a gang. All they do is drink excessively and use illicit drugs and steal, and they have a mother who applauds them for bringing home their illegal gains.
I'll say it's tough, but it's a story that many men have overcome. That same story, that story of being in the middle of nonsense and realizing that, hey, this is not good. This is not for me. I'm going to seek the light. I'm going to get out of this. Because if you're going to seek the light, and I think many of us instinctively want to do the right thing and want to seek the light, but if you're going to do that, you need to have resources and solutions and assistance and those type of things that when you start to seek the light, we'll hand it to you. One of the challenges that many of us have is that when we try to seek the light, we're told or taught that, hey, you don't belong here. Go back where you came from. And I think we have, as a society, to put in place things that encourage men who have this little feeling that, you know what, I'm not doing the right thing. I want to do the right thing, and give them an avenue to find that right thing.
Well, as a boy, as a teenager, as a man of any age, you need to decide who you want to be. What are your ideals? What kind of future do you want? I will paraphrase. I remember, I'll use it, a thought-provoking or inspirational quotation, and it basically will separate not just men but people in your life into three different categories. And the first is essentially the leaf people. So these are people who come into your life but only for a season. So they're there to take what they need and seem to get, as it gets colder and more difficult or the wind blows in your life, they're gone in an instant, just like the leaves blown off of a tree in a storm. And then there are the branch people. And although they are stronger than the leaf people, they must be tested before you put your weight upon them. These are people who often stay with you through many seasons, but often break away when life gets toughest and in the most trying of times. And finally, you have the best of us, which are the root people. And these are people who are fundamentally very important in your life. During difficult times, they will hold you up. They will love you and they will support you. They will become the part of the foundation of your life and your strength. So we always want to aspire to be the root people, and we always would like to aspire to have the root people surrounding us. Mm-hmm. And in that way, we can flourish.
Yes, but I'm going to start with a but. Leaf, branch, root, everyone has a purpose.
Yes, everyone is for a season.
Yeah.
And even if it means teaching us a lesson.
Yes.
Some of the most horrid people can come into your life and they can give you the greatest of lessons.
Oh, yes.
I've seen some of the most destructive people that you can ever meet are narcissists. I never understood what a narcissist is until I understand that these are people who live in a different plane of existence where they have no empathy. And in every way, they will manipulate a situation, manipulate a person, concoct whatever to make themselves look like the victim. They'll never take responsibility for anything they do, and they live destruction in their wake, and you need to just separate yourself from them. And there are a lot of narcissists mm-hmm. in this society, men and women, and they're raising narcissists, yeah. which are destroying a child before he even has a future.
But the beauty of life is that even when you encounter such persons with such level of negativity, there is always an opportunity in that. Sometimes it's a challenge to find that opportunity, but there's always an opportunity in that to learn and for you to develop something different from what you encounter. But even that skill has to be taught. The skill that, hey, negatives and positives exist in the same plane, but one of the points of a negative is to point you to the positive. So if we can learn that lesson when we encounter a rude person as a young man encountering someone rude, that wait a minute, the lesson to learn is that you should not be that way. How do you not be that way? How do you navigate rudeness in your life and keep it out of your soul as a young man, as a man growing up? How do you do that? And you need guidance for that.
And you have to surround yourself with positive people. If all of your friends do is come from work and drink until the morning hours and then go to work hungover, abuse women, those are the people you don't need to be around. But how
would you know that?
You see it. Yeah. It becomes part of society, as many women will say. That's a typical Bahamian man. That's a typical. Yeah. There's an African proverb that says a lazy man says that the sun is too hot before it even rises. So the too many men who are always making up excuses for why they can't do something before they even tried. Or you can't keep planning laziness and expect a harvest of success. You reap what you sow. And there are far too many men in our society who just don't want to put the work in.
So the question that we as a society have to answer, if we are to accept Greg's point that there are far too many men here, is how do we reverse this? Because we all live together. You cannot be satisfied by saying, I'm a good Christian, or I'm not like that. I live a different life. I'm in a different environment. We are all in the boat.
Yes.
And you can sit at the hem of the boat and there's a hole in the bow and you say, well, you know, that hole over there, I'm up here, that hole down there, that's none of my business. We are in the same boat. So we also need to get an understanding that our children are going to have to exist in a society that has everyone in it. Do you ignore that the others that you think you can ignore are going to be the neighbors and even sometimes the friends of your good child? Shouldn't you be concerned about doing something about the entire environment, not just your house?
Very well said. We have a call waiting. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Yes, good. Good evening, Dr. Pinto, and good evening to your guest.
Mr. Ian Fernando, yes. Good evening.
Oh, yes. Good evening, Mr. Fernando. Well, I was agreeing more with Mr. Fernando, in particular, like especially the last thing he was saying just now, because I sometimes tell individuals who care about their children, right, that if they were to, you know, observe society, right, like, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, as opposed to now, right, it's in a progression for the, you know, in the negative direction. And if you look around and if you are, you know, if you're someone who's really observant and really a real thinker, like how Dr. Mr. Fernando was saying, you realize that there's no real solution in place or nothing that can curb or slow down this progression of this negativity. You understand? And I feel as if that what real men would do, right, is that they would be observant of that type of thing in society, and they would stand up for the right and try to correct that to secure the future for their future generations. Because, Dr. Pinto, you were saying that real men don't sit down and take this and take that, and they don't know pushovers and stuff like that, right?
Yes.
Well, I feel as if whenever we sit back and we allow injustices in our society, especially from the high places, right, and we sit down and we talk about it, and we know these things are bad, we know the decisions that are being made are not in our best interest, but we just talk about it. We don't take action. Real men would stand up and demand that things are changed. But what I wanted to say is that I feel as if the men in our society is a reflection of our greater society. And listening to Dr. Pinto, like he was talking from such an idealistic, like an ideal perspective, as if, like, you know, we don't have problems in our society, and if, as if, you know, because he said we reap what we sow. That's what you said, Dr. Pinto. But
I did,
you know,
I did.
What has been sown?
Correct.
You know, and what is being sown today?
And who is sowing it?
Yeah, who is sowing it? But and what is being? I mean, like, cause there was a time when I had mentioned some time ago with Dr. Pinto, I had asked, because I had made a reference to our history, our real history in slavery, and I asked him, well, you know, who taught my people, my forefathers, them in slavery when they were freed to be good parents, where I'm coming from? You know what I mean? So who taught him, like, where did I get this ideal concept as a black man of what it is to be a man? You know what I mean? Because that does not exist in our society. You know, in other societies, their religion, like in Muslim societies, even in Jewish societies, they have, like, passages, like, you know, like where men...
rites of passages.
Go from men to boys. You know what I mean? From boys to men. They are rite of passage type thing. They have these things, and their religion, their whole society is formatted and based where the people have a sense of morality, collective morality. That doesn't exist here. We have a sense of collective foolishness. You understand? Because we say that our number one pastimes and stuff in this country is sweethearting and gossiping and stuff like that. Like, that's what we do. You know what I mean? We come from a society, Dr. Pinto, where you can't expect people to have emotional intelligence, like how you speak it so easily. You understand? You know what I mean? We are not, you know what I mean? We were not sown. You can't plant peas and grow corn. You're looking for corn, Dr. Pinto, but people plant peas.
So how do you suggest we turn that around?
Education, first of all. I feel, because you were saying, I think, Dr. Fernando, that we need to respect ourselves. And I agree with that. You know, but first, you have to love yourself. You have to appreciate who you are as an individual, right? Mm-hmm. And we, like this goes deep. Because, I mean, you know, you can't forget. I mean, I can't say you can't forget because we haven't discussed that. But there's that experiment where they had the little doll babies. You notice with the girls, just showing you something, where the girls chose the white baby over the black baby. We don't love ourselves. You know, we don't love. We have to be taught, first of all, to love who we are as black people. We need a sense of who we really are as a people. We need something about ourselves that causes us to love ourselves. We need a certain type of education. You understand that? You know, I mean, I don't want to go into depth about what it is, but we just need education about those things. But like I said before, we live in a society where we came from a certain type of history, right? Because I used to ask the question, who taught my father to be a good father? Who taught his grandfather? Who taught his father? Who taught his father? Because eventually I'll end up in slavery. That's where I'm coming from. It's as if now we are becoming more educated now. So we are learning how to be better people as we become better educated. But even the education system of our society is the average. It doesn't teach critical thinking, which is something that is necessary, Dr. Pinto, in order to have that emotional intelligence and in order to sit down with yourself and to reason with yourself in a way that you can reflect and try to be the best you. And you know what I mean? You need to be able to think critically. So if we want those things, Dr. Pinto, right, we as men have to demand that the individuals who lead us, right, who choose to be satisfied with this average education system, that they change that. You understand? We have to fight in that type of way to change the society to make sure that things, that, and I mean, bar on every corner. Bar on every corner. I mean, in some countries, you can't even drink. Bar on every corner. I mean, the music the children listen to, all of these things have to be done away with if we want to produce better children. You know, maybe we have to give them better. You know, we have to give them things other than what they have now.
Very well said, and very thought provoking. Well, in response to what you said, I am very much a realist. I have to be as a surgeon, but I am an idealist at heart. So I've been a physician 26 years as a surgeon, urologist. I've seen the worst of society. I've seen things in this society you cannot fathom. Being in and out of for decades in our trauma rooms, particularly at Princess Margaret Hospital, even being blessed with thousands of private patients. I see broken men and women every single day, and I treat patients, I manage patients as a whole, and many of them are going through traumas that I hear every single day. So I know what is going wrong in our society, things that you the typical person cannot imagine. I've seen the worst of society. I've seen the most violent, senseless acts over and over and over and over. So for you to perceive me as being some naive, idealistic view of this world, I'm trying to, obviously I'm going to temper what I say, but yes, I am a realist because of the reality I live every single day, but I'm not going to give up on my idealist views. We have another call coming in. This urologist speaks.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon to Mr. Pinto's son.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Happy birthday to your dad.
I'm happy to have that
happy
name.
Happy birthday to your dad. We worked together at Government High School. I'm Bowling. I taught computers, and I think he was teaching chemistry or one of the sciences.
Correct.
Yes, very good. Yeah, I want to also say that you don't have to do what you're doing. And for you to actively volunteer your time to share, and I've been listening to you for a long time.
Appreciate it.
I didn't call in earlier because I was wondering whether they're taking a call. I also want to send a greeting to your dad.
Thank you.
But you just don't only deal with urology, that's men's situation. You deal generally, you deal also women's situation, and also you deal with other matters that has to do with national development or national concerns. So I am thankful. I want to say it because I know that there are persons like your co-host there. I'm not saying he is, but I know persons who are doing well, and I'm saying that he is not, but they're doing well, and they don't even know what's happening in the news. They don't read the newspaper. They don't know if somebody is dead or alive, whether they're rich or famous. They're all in to themselves.
Yes.
So I want to commend you for being a good child of your parents and giving back to society. Do you know Dr. Magnus?
Yeah, well, he's, I call him Big Brother.
Okay.
Not only that, he's inspired me to do urology. In fact, he told me to do urology. I worked with him for 5 years, and he's my neighbor. So, yes, I know him. I know him like the back of my hand.
So that's the, you see, that's the reason why I don't stop calling the radio station, because some people may want me not to call.
Yes.
And there are persons who get shy away from participating, but I continue to participate. I had a situation in 1997 where I fell from a pear tree because I was trying to prove to someone I can climb a tree.
Yes.
And I did it so quickly that the circulation in my head and the blood and those, so I got knocked out, blocked out, and I fell on the ground. I also got a few puncture and wounds on my body. And he was the one there to check to see that, all the scans to see that my head was still okay, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, the country knows what he has done, and therefore that's why we need to respect people in general, and also especially those who care to get involved and give back. And thank you for your program, sir.
Well, thank you for your inspiring words, and we are here trying to uplift the nation and improve the society as in every way possible. You mentioned Dr. Magnus, who has been here 30 years plus, and he's as Bahamian as any of us. He might not have been born of the soil, but he has contributed on a grand scale more to society than almost any Bahamian who was born here. He's taken care of, and it's been publicly acknowledged by two former prime ministers. And he's took care of them at the same level of excellence that he would from someone who came from Fox Hill Prison or is here illegally or who lives on the street. So he's been an inspiration to me, and I've tried to encourage him to come on the show, and I think he will be coming on soon. And I also want to thank Mr. Ian Fernander. He's also a very busy individual, traveling all the time and trying to do so many things and have so many hats. And for him to volunteer his time, trying to be an inspiration to even one individual, I would like to thank him for that as well. So when we talk about what are the keys to success, a successful life, Mr. Ian Fernander, I mean, everything... I always look at it this way. We have a society that is too obsessed with what everyone is thinking, what everyone is. If you're successful, people are always going to say negative things about you. They take it as a badge of obsess about what people say about what you're wearing or what you're driving or what you're doing. You got to be true to yourself. You got to be true to the teachings of God. You got to be true to your family. You have to know that you are uplifting the society. You don't live for what other people think. There are too many people that want to pull you down because they put too much effort in pulling other people down than pulling themselves up. So everything that you're worried about and obsessed about daily is eventually all going to be gone in an instant. We're only here for a finite number of years on this earth. So people are always going to try to tear you down. They're always ridiculing you, always trying to deride you. But they're going to be gone. We're all going to be gone. In 100 years, none of us are going to be here. All this useless, idle gossip and chatter is going to be meaningless. Death comes to us all. But all of this concern about what people perceive you and perceive of you is just wasted time and energy. It's what you want to do is you want to be the best version of yourself, for yourself. And no matter what happens to you, no matter what manner of cruelty that you endure, no matter what injustice beholds you, you don't need to play the victim. So a frequent saying states that people with good hearts will never win. Or you can even put it simpler and more frequently, it'll say, good men always come last, or a nice guy always comes last, which is true if you look at it from a very superficial perspective. But if you look at a deeper level, the reality is that people with good hearts are not in it to win, quote unquote to win, because winning is defined as the world usually means taking more than you give and protecting yourself at all costs. But people with good hearts, truly good hearts, show up honestly with love in their heart and with integrity, even if it costs them. So good people don't keep score and they are not manipulative, and they don't worry about others. They do what is good because they know that's the right thing to do.
So I'd like to butt in by saying something. Answers are found by asking questions. And so I'd like to ask a question here. And the question is, I would say that love, respect, discipline, responsibility, contribution, integrity, these are all big words, perhaps except for love. But how does a young man learn to love? How does and where does he learn to love? Because without love, you really can't accomplish much. Without respect, being respected and being respectful, you have challenges. Without discipline, my goodness, you are challenged. Without purpose or a willingness to contribute to the greater good, again, you have challenges. Without integrity, this place where you say, you know what, I'm gonna stick to the right path. Without those things, you're challenged to become useful. But who or what is responsible for inculcating, let's just use love in the life of a young boy, a young man, in an older man? Where does he get that from?
Unfortunately, in our society, because the glaring example of that, there are not enough men in the homes and not enough loving men in this home, and a lot of those men never knew what it was to be loved, so they can't teach their sons love. But there are far too many men who reach out to gangs because that's the only form of love that they see possible, and you can see what the consequences are of that in our society. But I'll even go to the biggest picture. What is the most important decision you make in your life? And that's who you marry, because that can destroy you or that can make you. I am a shining example of, I put no limit on me because of my wife and my love and my sacrifice. And the greatest thing that we mentioned earlier is for me to come home and have peace, serenity, and actual true love no matter what. And a lot of persons don't have that. And they have the opposite. Person and take them down and get what they can get from it. And the greatest fear I have as a father having a daughter is that she finds that right person, because that wrong person can destroy her. Everything I'm doing to cultivate an intelligent, successful, emotionally stable, happy, grounded, contributing female in our society with a bright future can be completely torn apart, if not for a lifetime, for many, many years, where she has to pull herself back together if she marries the wrong person. So I always have to think about, I tell my daughter, I have many nieces as well, please do not marry a useless man. We go back to that point, who brings you zero value. Do not marry a man who is all about talk but no action, all cloud but no rain, all dream but no manifestation. Depending on who you who basically can put you into poverty. The wrong man, as we mentioned before, the wrong man can put you into poverty. Marry a high-value man, and we can discuss that. What is the definition of a high-value man who brings you real value, who believes in you, who invests in you, a man who treats you with ultimate respect? What is a high-value man, Mr. Ian Fernand?
I think I just kind of went over it when I asked the question. I think a high-value man is one who understands intimately and successfully what love is, and understands it from a wide variety of perspectives, who understands respect, being respectful, understanding what it is to be a disciplined person, understand that they must have purpose. They must be a person who is willing to grow.
And what do you define? What is purpose? Obviously, you want to be purposeful, but what is the purpose that you speak of?
Well, for me, purpose is the idea that you are in existence to do some great good.
Yes.
That's why you exist.
To create a legacy of positivity.
Yeah.
Make a positive impact.
To do some great good.
And we're only here for a fleeting moment on this earth. Let's leave a lasting positive impact, whether it's through our children, our grandchildren, or through our profession, through our community work, through it's our church, our neighborhoods. Let's leave a lasting impact, a positive one.
And you want to be able to say that you've added value to time and existence because of your existence. That the needle is being pushed a little bit. You don't have to do it a lot, but that you've done enough to at least maintain or sustain the position of the needle, or if you're lucky, you have pushed it forward. And for me, that's the definition of purpose. And so many of us fight to even know that we should have purpose beyond I need to make some money, I need to get this thing. But purpose is so far beyond that. I still go back to my question, though. Where does a young man learn this stuff?
I think we need to provide opportunities for that to happen, whether it's in organizations or mentorship. There, that we need to reach out to them. We need to say them before they fail.
And we need to do it for the sake of your daughter.
Yes.
Because
it's the sake of society. It's the sake of our Bahamas. So,
you know, yes. And that's the point I was trying to make, that, hey, you sit in one place and you have to be concerned that your good children that you're raising need to be with other good children that other people are raising. And if that's not your environment, then you have a risk to your daughter and your sons.
Yes.
Your daughters and your sons to reach out and bring the environment up to par.
Yes. Very well said.
You can't just let it go.
Very well said. Well, this is the end of the hour. I'll just say briefly in conclusion, the society beats men down. We cannot argue that. But a man, it seems, can never do anything right in today's society. If he speaks up for his beliefs and expresses his wishes, then he's deemed aggressive. If a man stays silent in the face of injustice or disrespect or ridicule, then he's termed too passive and weak. If a man sacrifices and provides for others, he's considered controlling. If he struggles to provide in our society, particularly for women, he's openly called not a man. If a man opens his heart and bears his soul, he's called soft and weak. If he bottles up his emotion, he's termed cold. It's all a trap. A man can't win in life or in this society no matter what path he chooses. So the label placed upon a man may change, but the purpose stays the same. To be the best man possible, to make other men in our society feel like he can win no matter what the circumstances. A man in this society can never accept the label of being useless.
Never.
Never, okay. Never. Any closing remarks, Mr. Ian Fernando?
Well, I just want to say that in a highly Christian society, let's remember that two of the staples of Christianity, one is love, love and redemption. The other one is the concept that we are all sinners. And because we are all sinners, there has to be a reckoning with the fact that when someone does sin, we should have something in place to help them into their better selves, and to help them stay at their better selves. That's redemption. That's forgiveness. That's support. Let's see if we could move away from our almost societal push to damn the sinner, because we are all sinners.
Very well said, Mr. Ian Fernando. Thank you for being here, and thank you for our listeners for tuning in. And this is Urologist Speaks with Dr. Gregory Pinto. Have a very safe week, Bahamas. Good night.
Don't be ashamed. It's time to take control. Get some help from the urologist.
You will find
he'll help you solve your problems on 96.9.